Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on another episode of Happy Cast with Ben and Brian. I am Brian, and I, as always, I'm joined by Ben. Ben, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty okay today. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Ben. I'm really excited to be here. We're on our second episode of our run of guest shows.
Was that Chris a secret, or do we know that?
Did I drop it? I don't know.
I know we're doing at least one.
Yep, that's true.
Well, I guess we can say, because we are asking almost every person who is listening.
Or if you're listening would like to be on the show, just send us an email and we'll...
happycastfeedback@gmail.com.
We'll figure something out. But let's move forward, because we should not waste any time today. We've got a very special guest. We're very lucky to have him here on the show. I'm incredibly grateful. Hey, man, I've known this cat for almost my entire life. Terrific guy. Taught me everything I know about podcasting. No exaggeration. Everything I know. He is my origin story. I feel like it's not an exaggeration for me to say that had I not met this person, I would be a fundamentally different person today. Let's build this up as much as we can. Hey, one of the most generous people I know here today, ladies and gentlemen, give a big Happy Cast welcome to Chris.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Chris?
Doing well. Ben, how are you?
I am also doing that well that Brian is.
Oh, this is nice. Thanks for the guest spot. I am really privileged.
Oh, we're just so grateful to be joined by the prodigal son of podcasting himself. He has finally returned to the format. We thought you were gone forever, but here you are. The tables have turned. Last time we did this, you and I were the host and Ben was the guest, but now he is the master.
That's right. I think I like this seat better. I can heckle.
Oh,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, let's just go right forward to our first segment here. Start off with a little happy hour. That's right. Happy Hour is the part of the show where we talk about the things that make us happy this week. Ben, as is tradition, let's start with you. What's your happy hour?
Well, I had to think of one starting about like 5 to 10 minutes ago because I'd forgotten to. So I'm going to go with, I think, Rock Band, because I'm holding a Rock Band mic currently.
Oh, yes. You're talking about the... the video, interactive video game experience Rock Band, not just the general concept of Rock Bands.
Yes, not just Rock Bands that are out there. It's all just, you know, it's a video game Rock Band. I think it's called like a music rhythm game. There's, you can play guitar, bass, drums, sing, or keyboard in the latest installment. And you like notes come down the screen, you push buttons and strum or drum. I'm not good at the drums.
Strumming and drumming.
And then microphone, you had to sing, hit all the pitches. It's really cool. And plus, I like it because I've gotten to use this microphone for over half of the episodes that we've recorded over the years. It's a lot better than the one we started with initially.
Yeah, it's been pretty useful. So anybody out there thinking about starting a podcast, go buy a Rock Band microphone.
Yeah, it's been nice. And what else have I been... my brain stopped.
Oh, we need to reboot Ben. Hold the power button for 5 seconds.
It's that mic. See, that's what happens.
So there a new one is coming out. Rock Band 4. They announced it for the Xbox One, PS4, and all of that. It looks like it's going to be cool so far. They're letting you use past instruments, as far as I've heard. There's Lego Rock Band, Beatles Rock Band. They're all great. Yeah, I just like it. I've been playing it recently with Megan. It's been great. That's really all I have to say.
No, they're a lot of fun. Chris, have you had much experience with these rhythm plastic instrument games? And what is your take as an actual musician?
I have. I've, you know, pounded on a few pads and strummed a few faux strings on a guitar neck made of plastic. I'm really, though, looking forward to, I don't know if you guys have been made aware, but you know, I'm a beta tester from Microsoft. One of their products coming out with this band line is Opera Star. That's really going to be a hit. I mean, opera's really making a comeback, you know. But I think you'll need to upgrade your mic, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when you sing into the mic, have a really good sound system, you know, you can shatter glass. So you want to make sure you don't have a cheap mic, because if so, it's going to break like all your windows in your house.
Oh, and that'd be unfortunate.
You know, you don't want that.
Oh, well, so opera, what's it called? Opera star, opera hero?
I don't know. Wouldn't that be something if that was real?
That would be. I thought you were going to. Give the hot scoop on organ hero. It's like Guitar Hero, but with like a plastic organ where you can play all the organ sounds.
Nice. I would like that.
All the organ hits. Indigata Davida. Other organ songs. I don't know.
Organ songs. The music to Frankenstein.
Sure, yeah. Take me out to the ball game.
Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera. They're all in there. All
that mixes
hits.
Opera and organ.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a crossover. You can actually do a co-op opera star organ hero mashup.
Ooh, nice.
I'd play it.
All right. So Ben's happy hour is Rock Band. And I'll go next just to give Chris another example of how this goes.
Cool. I need that.
In fact, hey. Here, since this is your first time on the show, I'm going to do something very special. I'm going to just give you a quick overview of the podcast in 15 seconds. It's
a special segment
we're going to call Happy Cast in 15. So cue up that timer, Ben.
Boom.
Okay. Happy Cast is the number one source for the things that make you happy, the things that bum you out, and everything in between. We talk about movies and TV, words that sound like other words. People write in emails. They're characters. I'm out of time. Oh, so close. Oh, man. I just wasn't prepared for that.
I was used to the jarring instead of the nice, you know, peppy.
Meep, beep, beep. We have lots of different alarms.
Hey, buddy. Oh. Hey, time's up. Yeah, the Lost in 15 timer was upsetting. you're like mid-thought and it's like, it just shot all the thoughts out of your mind. Your mind was blank at that point.
Ouch.
Just a clean slate.
So that was 15. I can't wait for the bum pat.
I can wait.
Hey, my happy hour pick this week is it's a beverage. You know, listeners of the show will know that I kicked the energy drink habit some weeks ago, but I'm cheating a little bit. Yeah, that's true. Chris is shocked, jaw on the floor.
Wow, time for bummer patrol.
I know. but I'm cheating because I can't go cold turkey on caffeine. I need my caffeine fix now and then, but I've been drinking a little bit of coffee. I've been a little bit of a coffee connoisseur. Let me tell you how I like my coffee, guys. You just get a hot cup of coffee, you pour it into your coffee mug. That's it. You don't put any creamer in it, no sugar. You don't put a skirt on it. You don't do anything. It's good to go. You don't put an umbrella or a straw. Just straight black coffee. You're good to go.
You are the real thing. Wow.
I am not a coffee fan, but I can understand that you may be.
That's very accepting of you, Ben. I'm glad that this coffee tolerance program is really working out for us.
Coming out of the coffee closet.
Sure. Yeah. I've been afraid to tell you that I'm a big coffee fan for a while, but.
I'm glad you are. When I grew up at home, my father drank it just straight out of the pot, just black, no cream,
straight out of the pot, like no cup, just threw the pot back.
Yeah, no cup, you know.
Oh, such a manly move.
Maybe eat some of the coffee beans straight up.
However,
just ate coffee beans,
like lick the filter clean.
Now, mind you, when he drank tea, it was, you know, unsweet as well.
Mm-hmm.
So neither of his drinks had any sugar in them. But then I, you know, got used to unsweet tea, so I drink unsweet tea. And in the state of Georgia, that's really the uncommon thing, because usually if you order tea, it's sweetened. You have to specify unsweet.
That's true. If you just say tea, you'll get the sweetest tea known to man, almost like a syrup.
However, I have to have sweetener in my coffee, which it doesn't make sense. It's like, if I like it in my coffee, why don't I like it in my tea?
That's true. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I'm kind of the flip side of that, because I will drink as much game as I like to spit about drinking black coffee.
Sweet tea.
Yeah. Well, there's certain teas, like an iced tea, I want it to be sweetened. But if I'm going to have like a hot tea, like a hot green tea or an Earl Grey, then I'll just drink it straight. I don't need any sweetener in that. But
what about something about iced tea?
Oh, what's that? That's where you what do you put? You drink it at high noon and put cream in it and eat a crumpet. Is that how that works?
Well, just referring to the cream, which is similar to putting cream in the coffee. People put cream in their tea. So that's actually not too bad. I've tried it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a shot. I'm not opposed to it.
I get chai lattes. That's tea, isn't it? And something else. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. I remember years ago, I was at a coffee shop instead of a bookstore. We'd go there regularly to study. And I was like, well, I don't like coffee. Anything good I can have? Like, yeah, try this chai latte. And so that's been my go-to drink at coffee shops now.
Oh, chai latte. I'll have to give that a shot.
Yeah, spiced is like the classic favorite. Tastes like pumpkin pie sometimes. But they have all sorts of cool flavors at some places.
Okay. Excellent.
Nice.
So I'm glad this coffee chat segment's gone over very well. Now, I know Chris has an interesting coffee preference, because you'll do a cold brewed iced coffee. And yeah. I still don't understand the science of how that works. You're using a filter and there's no heat involved. You're putting it in the refrigerator. It takes several hours. There's some kind of alchemy involved, and then you have some kind of iced coffee when it's done.
Alchemy, very interesting way to put it. You when you brew with hot water, I don't know the exact science and the process, but when you cold brew it, it's not as quick. You do have to let the ground sit, preferably overnight. We usually like to do a couple days.
Okay.
And wow. It pulls more out of the coffee grounds. And it allows for a drink that is less acidic. For people where the acid may provide problematic, this may provide a solution for that. I said a lot of words that started with P there. For those that want to rewind and count. But also, I'm not sure about the caffeine content, but caffeine, when I drink the iced coffee, doesn't seem to faze me. Whereas if I drink regular coffee brewed with hot water, the caffeine just drives me crazy.
Huh.
But I've also heard that it's more robust. It's more flavorful. I'm really not sure why more places don't do it, or why they do it.
Do.
Hey.
I did that last episode, too.
One guess is when I talked to a coffee store manager was that you had to prepare, a day or two ahead of time, the amount of coffee you were going to sell. So it was kind of hard to guess. So if you prepared more coffee than you could sell, then if it sat and he didn't sell it, he had to toss it. So I don't know. But I prefer the cold. And I would dare challenge anyone if they want to try the cold brew and then heat it up.
Oh.
And compare that to the regular way you brew coffee. I would be interested to hear.
That's some pretty advanced coffee drinking techniques, cold brewing and then warming it up. My mind is blown. I hadn't even considered the possibility.
Well, when I went to a donut chain and asked for iced coffee, my first experience at this place, they gave me hot brewed coffee with ice cubes in it.
This must have been back in 1985 or something like that.
It was in the 90s.
Okay. All right. So you were on the cusp of the iced coffee craze then.
The iced coffee just hadn't made its revival through America yet.
Okay. Excellent.
Do you have a favorite slang for coffee, like black gold, Texas tea, any of those?
Like a brew, a Joe, Texas tea.
T-E-A.
Iced Joe. I don't think I have a particular slang. It's just I like to put preference on the iced, you know, if I'm around my coworkers, I'm like, man, I could sure go for a good old glass of iced coffee.
Just so they know. And always, pinkies out when you're drinking the iced coffee.
Just all
or
the time.
The cold brew, you know, cold brewed coffee. I have gotten some raised eyebrows at that. Like, the guy's what? Nuts.
You have your own home brewery then.
Yeah.
Sell and label. Yeah. It.
A different, a new kind of home brewing.
I've got a flask.
Ooh. A coffee flask? You have a coffee flask?
It's been sitting for a couple of days, and it's right after the show. It's going to be perfect.
Okay. Wow.
Do you sneak out the flask and like take sips of it sometimes?
Like a hard-boiled detective on like a rough case, like I need to hit the coffee flask.
I suggest a dark roast for the cold brew. Let it sit for a couple of days. Extremely robust.
Okay, excellent. I'm gonna, off mic, I'm gonna take some tips from you on what kind of equipment I need to buy to cold brew a coffee if I want to get into this. Do I grind the bean myself or do I buy pre-ground? It's so many questions.
If you didn't know what equipment, just watch what season 3 and 4 of Breaking Bad, the Super Lab. Get that stuff.
Okay. So
there's a coffee brewing machine in there.
Oh, really?
Like Gale made a bunch of coffee and he had like a perfect way of making it.
You're right. There was a coffee machine in there.
That wasn't just a meth reference.
So my happy hour is coffee. Chris, would you like to, do you have anything you'd like to share with us? I know we're catching you, very little preparation. That's my mistake.
Well, that always makes for an exciting time, doesn't it? So this is kind of something that you've latched onto, you say, in the past week, since you guys do this reoccurring week to week, or somehow. Is it something that could be overall encompassing?
Well,
anything.
I usually go with something kind of recent, kind of covering the past week because we do this so often. I've already burned through most of my evergreen topics, but since you're a first time guest, you can feel welcome. Anything at all. Favorite childhood snack. You can like ants on a log.
Why
would that be? Bummer Patrol.
Oh, we're in happy hour.
Oh, we are? I forgot.
Wow. So many experiences to pull from. But I think I will stay true to the concept here. And I will do something within the week.
Okay.
Like the fabulous hosts have done. I'm going to go with, and I'm not sure how to categorize this, but my wife was out of town for the weekend. And when she returned, she brought with her food items from the place where she visited. And she usually goes and picks up things she thinks I would like. So when she returns, it's like, oh, I can't wait till she gets back. She, you know, who knows what she's going to have. So she brought back a slew of different type of food types that may not be so easy to obtain within the city that you currently live.
Ooh, some contraband foods. I hear what you're saying.
One of these we're actually going to try tonight is an olive oil that's infused with chocolate.
Ooh.
Wow.
it's like a dessert olive oil.
So we're going to use that. It's kind of like a dressing on a chicken salad and see how that goes.
Huh.
She brought back some cinnamon and vanilla roasted cashew nuts. You know, just things like that she'll bring back. And any place that you go to, one of these small country towns, that's usually how they attract the tourists, you know, whether it's an event or whether it's food items. Like when you go to the fair, like who doesn't want to get a funnel cake?
Those are the best.
They're very good. Big fan.
Or if I go to a particular town in Texas, I know where I'm going to get my snow cones. And it's really not even treating it justice to call it a snow cone. It's like gold cone. But yeah, that happened this week. So she brought back a number of items and can't wait to try the chocolate infused olive oil. She brought back some other infused olive oils as well.
Are you allowed to drink it straight out of the bottle?
Oh, And she brought back a tiny little jar of 100% pure black truffles.
Wow, ooh. Truffles. That's very, very high end, very fancy.
The mushroom with the chocolate.
Mushroom truffles. The little bitty jar. It was like $30 for this tiny
thing
for a mushroom. Would you pay $30 for like mushroom, little teeny, like a marble?
No,
I personally would not.
But I hear it's the most expensive food item in the world. So
how are you going to pair this? Are you going to put shaved truffles on like a nice frog wah? What are you cooking, Chris? Maybe some natto, some fermented soybeans.
I thought about like some chai thai.
Chai thai?
Yeah.
Just mix it in your coffee. Try that one.
Oh yeah.
Mushroom and throw some olive, the chocolate olive oil in there. It'll be a weird taste explosion.
I'm very excited. Please report back to me how your truffle experiment turns out.
I don't think the mixture of all the aforementioned items would make happy hour. Go for the bummer patrol.
It might go in the danger zone.
Yeah, it might be in another segment altogether.
Kind of reminds me of the time Justin Bieber had some milk backstage, came back on stage. It was bad milk, and he threw up in front of the audience.
That's true. I remember hearing about that. Very, very unfortunate. If you're going to do something strenuous, if you're going to go like hiking or climbing out, just don't chug a bunch of milk. It would be my guess. I never understood why. What race is it? The Indy 500? The winner?
Oh, I thought that was about to go differently. I thought you were about to like just start talking about some race.
What race
is it that can't drink milk?
No. What race can't? This
wow,
race
edgy,
of
Brian.
Lactose intolerance. No. I think when you win the Indy 500, you drink a bunch of milk, maybe. I don't know. It never made sense to me. It seems like the last thing I'd want to drink at that point.
Is that where you drink that gallon of milk, like that challenge that people do?
Yeah, like the glass milk. Yeah, that's you finish the race, you do the gallon of milk challenge.
Or is the cinnamon challenge to do at the end?
That's a different race. That's actually a golf tournament.
I was thinking it might have been like one of the horse races.
Oh, the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, like maybe the horse has to do it too.
No, that's you finished the Kentucky Derby, and then the horse has to do the ice bucket challenge.
Oh, okay. All right.
So this concludes the happy hour portion of the show. We're going to have a quick word from this week's sponsor, and then we're going to pick up when the Bummer Patrol. In 2008, the world was first introduced to Lost Man. After abruptly ending, many fans thought they'd never see him again. That is, until now.
I need to find shelter for the night. Perhaps this abandoned rocket ship will work very nicely. Yeah, it certainly seems dry and cozy in here. Great. And here's a nice sleeping area. And a panel with all sorts of buttons. And this one here. Assuming I'll get a free meal if I push it, it says lunch. It didn't say lunch. Oh, it said launch.
LU Productions brings you the exciting next chapter in the Lost Man saga. Lost Man. Lost Man in Space has something for everyone. Drama.
Looks like I need to crash land my space rocket. If you ever find yourself in a situation looking for a spot to land that'll minimize damage, something like a space lake will come in handy.
Comedy.
Danger! Danger, Will Robinson! Danger!
Robot, that's not even my name.
Action.
This planet I've landed on appears to be populated by an advanced Category 7 race of space slugs. Good thing I always carry my all-purpose salt shaker!
And romance.
You've saved me from my space slug captor. I love you.
And I love you too, robot.
see Lost Man as you've never seen him before, on the big screen, and also in space. Coming to theaters September 22nd. In space, no one can hear you.
Oh, man!
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bummer Patrol portion of the show. It's part of the show where we talk about the things kind of feeling down in the dumps, feeling a little...
No!
Yeah, it's true. For every... that's just the circle of life, Chris. For every happy hour, there's a Bummer Patrol.
So we have to play the part two and kind of... put on our downcast faces?
No, you can be like really excited about the thing that you're sad about if you want to.
Yeah!
Ben, what's your Bummer Patrol this week?
Well, as I'm still unprepared, I'm going to go with something I've been seeing recently in the media I've been watching. It's when people don't say bye on phone calls on TV shows and movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
I could not stand that. All right. I have now, since last episode, been watching a whole bunch of Gilmore Girls on both of your recommendations, you and Fizz, Brian.
Yeah, both of them. Me and Chris both recommended Gilmore Girls. We're big fans.
Was that on Chris's Thai food segment? Is that when you talked about Gilmore Girls?
maybe. That might be a future Chris on.
Well, several times so far. I'm already like halfway through season two. I've been binging it like crazy. But, people like just blah 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 hang up. Like, well, you didn't even finish the conversation. The other person still might have been talking. Who knows? And in like movies, whenever someone talks to like their boss or like some villain, they could at least say like goodbye, but they don't.
Just rude villains.
Yeah.
So you want like Liam Neeson?
Click.
Like Liam Neeson. Like I don't know who you are, but I have a particular set of skills. I will hunt you down and I will find you. Okay, talk to you later at the appropriate time. Good.
Yeah.
Good, have a good afternoon. This is Liam Neeson. Goodbye.
Yeah, why can't they do that?
I guess maybe just a time restraint, maybe. I'm not sure.
We'll just go, bye. And
like, see, I aspire to just pick that up in my real life, is I just want to end phone calls abruptly. Just, yeah. I'm done. Just when I'm done, I'll hang up.
How do both parties know? People just think you're rude all the time if you just hang up.
The other party knows when I've hung up that the call is over.
Yeah, but they'll just be sad. They'll just be crying.
Can you imagine if the Joker calls Batman?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Batman, I've got
great
you
Joker.
Batman, I'm going to rob a specific place and, you know, kill all these people.
Oh, no, you won't. I'm going to stop that.
Okay, well, let's see. Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, Joker.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Would bye be appropriate there? That's kind of a dramatic hang up.
That's something the Joker might do anyway, because he would be kind of silly about it.
Because he's a psychopath. He might... Yeah, the Joker seems like the guy that could get away with, like, ending a call abruptly. Like, this is what I have to say. Batman, it's me, the Joker!
Ben, like Conan O'Brien's version of the Joker. Well, see, I was thinking, like, maybe Bane might do it. I don't know how he would say bye. Probably with a weird, like, accent. And
who do you
in an echo chamber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you can't really hear, understand what he's saying anyway.
Goodbye, Batman!
Is that Yoda? Yoda?
That's if Yoda and Bane had a baby?
Yeah.
That was Grover.
Grover is my favorite Batman villain.
Not a very scary villain. Maybe it's Super Grover.
Oh, yeah. Super Grover. I forgot about Super Grover.
Batman versus Super Grover. Zack Snyder.
Nice.
All right. So that's Ben's Bummer Patrol. Is
Super Grover.
Super Grover. My Bummer Petrol is going to be, hey guys, we all drive automobiles. Am I right or am I right? And if you're like me, sometimes you have auto trouble.
Auto trouble. You need autocorrect.
Oh, autocorrect would be a great product if I could just get an automobile correction. My Bummer Patrol is when I go to the parts store, and I'm just very, I feel very out of my element at the parts store.
Honda element?
I'm out of my Honda Element. I drive my Honda Element to the parts store.
Did Dr. Frankenstein go to the parts store?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's where we got all those parts. But this is a different kind of parts store, Ben.
Oh.
I just feel so out of my element and so not knowledgeable about how vehicles work. So I'll go in for a simple thing like, okay, I know I need my tail lights out. I need a new bulb for my tail light. I'm just going like, yes, I need a bulb for my tail light. They're like, okay, what kind of vehicle do you drive? It's like this model and this year. It's like, what kind of engine does it have in? I'm like, oh, should I know that? Is that something I should know? A V
there's something? A hole in the floor. I put my feet out. You know, Flintstone does it too.
What, you go to buy oil? Yeah, like what kind? What grade of oil? It's like there are different grades of oils. Oh man, I feel like they see it on my face. Like I'm gonna be duped. Like, oh, you need this oil. You need the most expensive oil there is. It feels like if my grandmother went to like a GameStop. It's like, I'm here to buy the Nintendo. It's like, oh, like a Nintendo Wii, a DS, what kind? Super Nintendo? It's like, I don't Nintendo. That's it. That's all I know. That's how I feel.
I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I don't even know the last time we had to replace something. Normally, we'll go to like my mom or grandparents. We'll like look online, find the thing we need, order it, and then work together to try to put it in. By work together, I mean mostly like my uncle will come over and try to figure it out, and I'll stand there and hand him things.
Oh.
And watch and try to learn from stuff.
Make sure you try to learn, because you just described my relationship with my father for many years, in which I was just probably thinking about something else and not actually absorbing any information.
Oh.
So it's on me. It's my fault, really.
I think we all might have had, you know, a male in our life, if which it was my dad, you know, that could just rattle off the, yeah, you know, the engine's got a, you know, 2.4 liter inline four cylinder DOHC variable valve timing, four valves per cylinder. Like, what?
I don't know what any of that means.
It's all gibberish. Well, you know, we all have our areas of our expertise, I suppose, but it's, I don't know, vehicles have been challenging. I did manage to change my own oil once, and I felt like the greatest man that ever lived. It's like, yes, I did it. I conquered you, machine.
How about if the people that when you walk in, they don't know about their engine, similar to you, Brian, mm-hmm. like, what kind of engine do you have? And you kind of take that as a they're trying to tell you their car is better than your car. So you just say, my car goes fast. That's all you need to know.
It is a red car. I've got dice on the mirror, fuzzy dice in the mirror, and a bumper sticker that says my child is an honor student. It is not actually my child. It came on the car pre-owned, and I have not been able to remove it.
Oh.
My child is not an honor student, and every morning when I drive them to school, I point at that bumper sticker and say, not you.
No.
Uh-uh.
Oh, Brian.
I feel bad for my fictional child now. Sorry. But yeah, that's my bummer patrol. Chris, what do you have? Do you have anything?
Oh, I do.
Off the top, this freestyle podcast we're doing?
Mine is awful punctuation or lack of punctuation. For example, I got an email from my boss yesterday, okay? And the email said, it's just one line, I'll quote, Chris, do you know why I'm at the gun range today?
That's terrifying.
To get.
What?
Like he was in some kind of fugue state, and then he came to. Like, why am I at the gun range?
I was like that. It was more like a threat. Like, do you know why I'm here, Chris?
That's what I was thinking. Oh. You know, one, is he threatening me because I'm, you know, my job performance is really terrible, and he wants me to come out there, or did he have amnesia? Did he wake up? You know. If he doesn't know why he's at the gun range, I don't think he should be at the gun range.
Yeah. Did he at least add like a winky face or like a tongue face to show he was
like an emoticon?
No, in fact.
He put the little gun emoticon.
Gun emoji?
Well, he was actually responding, or he forwarded me an email from someone else who couldn't get a particular thing operating right. And they said, how do you get this working? And his response was to forward it to me, and he said, Chris, I don't know why. And then he let me know he wasn't there today by saying, I'm at the gun range.
Oh, I but you don't put know it why together, I'm at the gun range.
I don't know why I'm at the gun range. I'm like, whoa.
No.
You know? But, you know, just say I come to you, Brian, and say, Brian, or you come to me.
Okay.
And you roll, say.
Okay. I'm excited. Yes. What do I say?
Say, Chris, let's eat Grandpa.
Chris, let's eat Grandpa.
See? You put a pause. You see the difference punctuation makes there?
Chris, let's eat Grandpa.
If you just tell someone, let's eat. I mean, you could say, is this a squirrel eating pumpkin? Or is this a squirrel eating pumpkin?
Oh, wow.
I mean.
That's very good. I saw a magazine cover recently. It's like some kind of homekeeping something with Rachel Ray on the front. Like an interview with Rachel Ray. And the header said, Rachel Ray talks about cooking her family and dog, but there are no commas. It's just, she talks about cooking her family and dog. It's very upsetting.
Yeah. You know, if go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was gonna say, I've read a couple. One was about how pandas eat shoots and leaves. I think is one of them,
but
so that's one. And also one is like, I've invited the strippers, Hitler and Stalin, which if you have an Oxford comma or not, changes dramatically what that story is.
Wow. Yes, it does. So that's my bummer thing. The lack of punctuation. I won't even get into the spelling at all, but the phone one, Ben, was great, you know, not saying bye. But, you know, punctuation can save a person's life. I'm just saying.
Well, without punctuation and spacing, man's laughter becomes manslaughter.
Ooh,
so
see?
It could be dangerous.
Well, this has been very an oddly informative edition of Bummer Patrol. I'm very excited. let's close this out and move forward with the triumphant return of No News Is Not New News. Breaking news today in Happy Cast Studios. Our eye in the sky, Chris, is here to share. I don't know. It's not a traffic story. Hey, time for a little no news is not sorry, tang tungle. Time for a little no news is not new news. So it's our part of the show where occasionally we share odd or strange, interesting news stories, and I think Chris had something that he would like to share with us. Chris, take it away.
Oh, this is a news story that I managed to hear on my way home. I turned on the car radio. And usually, if I hear something that piques my attention, I'll listen. But for the most part, I'm like, you know, I can listen to music anytime. So let's turn the dial and pick up some news stories just to see what's recent. And then as I was listening to this one news story, it began to really take a turn. And I thought, this is not real. And turns out it was real. The DJ there was telling the listeners about how a young schoolgirl had a tingly sensation in her mouth, and her mother thought she was joking at first. She, for several days, said she felt something moving around in her mouth. So even after visibly looking, it's like, nah, I don't see anything. Just brush your teeth. You know, maybe it's kind of like having your skin crawl. You know, just go make sure your teeth, mouth are clean. So she, no matter how many times she brushed her teeth, it did not get rid of this. In fact, she said it started getting worse. No matter how much she brushed her teeth, she said she felt something like it was moving around. So
I'm getting scared.
This little schoolgirl.
this should be our like horror segment because I'm, I'm in terrible suspense.
She went to the dentist, and now we have the dentist who removed 15 maggots from her mouth.
How did they get there?
Her gums were swollen, obviously so. I have no idea why, but, maggots in the mouth. Can you imagine her breath? Hi.
Oh, that's very upsetting.
That is the news that I was just like, what radio station am I on? Is this making the TV too?
Yeah, this is the news. I mean, this is an odd occurrence, but this is breaking news.
Oh, that's weird.
I think it was I'm making a guess, but I'm thinking Brazil. I know it was just another country. Okay. Ooh, so it may be where maybe healthcare isn't like it is here, but yeah. And
any update? Is she doing well? Like they took the maggots out and everything's fine.
Well, I've actually sent her an email and asked if she could be the guest next week.
Oh, wow.
And you guys can take a screenshot of Skype. She can show you that her mouth is, you know, okay. Oh, you know, okay. Gums are Ooh. Back to normal. No.
But how are the maggots doing?
Yeah, good question, man. Good question.
Let's make sure they're okay, too.
Both sides of the story.
I think Andrew Zimmern wanted them. He was a little jealous.
Looking for some lunch.
You know who that is? The host of the weird food show?
Gross food.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that guy. He eats gross stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I especially liked structurally how you told that story, Chris, because it was reminiscent of, like, Paul Harvey. Like, I thought you'd get to the end, and that girl grew up to be a famous movie star, Glenn Close, and now you know the rest of the story.
Wow, I think that would have made the news before now, but...
I guess so. Also, I learned something weird about myself. Apparently, my poll for big movie star is Glenn Close. I thought, that's, you know, she's successful. I think she's won awards, but... I didn't think that would be the name that came up.
Wow. Call her Maggot Mouth now?
Oh, Eminem.
Oh, that's a better name.
I had an odd news story I wanted to share, guys. It was about Taco Bell drive-thru, in which a customer went to pick up their food, and as they left, they looked in the bag, and it was full of, like, $8,000 cash.
Wow.
How old is this story, Brian?
This happened like 5 years ago, Ben. So it's not very new. But no news is not new news, so it's old news, so it's relevant to the segment. But
all right.
Apparently that's how that Taco Bell handled like dropping off cash deposits. Like the manager was supposed to go around and pick up the money through the drive-thru and then go deposit it. And there was like some crossed wires. And this young college-aged girl made off with thousands of dollars. And they maybe never found it. I don't know. It was somewhere in, let's say, Florida. That seems like a Florida thing.
Probably Florida.
Also, it feels like Taco Bell should have a better system for making bank deposits. That's my takeaway. It seems very strange, but...
Yeah, why would they just... I mean, I understand. I guess it's to make people not know whenever they're handing the money over to someone else who's driving by to go deposit it. But still, that's not a good idea. At least color it differently or something.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they thought it was like maybe the girl thought it was like a weird promotional thing. It's like the Taco Bell answer to McDonald's Monopoly is you just get a bag full of cash and you head for the border.
You think
$8,000, you could live like a king forever.
I think after they got the money, they're like, oh, well, I didn't get food. Better go to the other Taco Bell in town just so I can order food.
And then they just keep getting money every time. They just keep getting bags full of cash.
What a curse. They can never eat then.
Never. You can never have Taco Bell again.
Oh, I want Taco Bell now.
I could go for a Taco Bell. So
Chai taco sounds good.
Ooh.
Does it?
Chocolate truffle taco.
Oh, listen, yeah.
Oh, hey, Ben, did you see the tweet we got today from FizzBiz about...
Oh, yes.
About the... it looked like it was a Taco Bell ad, I'm going to assume. It looked like the Taco Bell font. Not that I'm intimately familiar with what the Taco Bell font looks like, but it was like their marketing style. It was the chicken biscuit taco. It was like...
They're doing chicken.
It's like a biscuit... It's like a biscuit tortilla wrapped around chicken. It's gross. It looked really weird. I don't want to have it.
What?
Would you try that, Chris? You're a foodie. Go.
Sure. I'd try it.
Yeah, Chris is very open-minded. He'll try any kind of food. Is there any kind of food that you wouldn't try? Go.
No. Probably not.
Wow.
In fact, the last interesting thing I tried was at a all-you-can-eat buffet that had Chinese... and Thai, and one of the food items I know had to be of Thai origin, but I looked at the container and I thought, what is that? And I pulled one out and I thought, no way. And I put it on my plate. It was a chicken foot.
Whoa.
They were soaked in whatever, I don't know, but I hear you're supposed to, maybe this will gross some people out. You really, it absorbs the flavor of whatever concoction you put it in. So you suck on the chicken foot till it's mere bone and you don't eat that. But oh. I tried it.
Ugh. It was not good?
Well, certainly acquired.
I commend you for trying it, though. I
tried it, yeah.
Probably couldn't have done it.
No, I would not have at all.
Justin Bieber.
Like the next concert, he thought, like, okay, no more milk. I'm just going to eat these chicken feet before the concert. Just he never learns, that guy.
Hey, Justin, how about some chicken fingers?
Oh. Actual chicken fingers. From their toe. Chicken toes?
Chicken fingers from their toes.
Chicken fingers from their toes.
Foot fingers.
Finger toes. Edward finger toes. Hey, that I guess that's all the news fit to podcast.
I have a short one.
Okay, go ahead.
This is from, I think, February. Suspicious banana-like object determined not to be a threat.
Okay.
apparently, the bomb disposal people got a report, or I think several, that there's a suspicious banana hanging in a pine tree in Nebraska. But it was just a geocache.
What? That's a suspicious banana, not one of those, like, everyday run-of-the-mill bananas. Like, oh, yeah, just it's a normal banana. This is probably a family banana. It's got a wife and kids at home, but it's a suspicious banana, like a real loner type.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, when you read that, I can't help but get this visual of, you know, the banana hanging in the tree, which bananas grow on trees, but maybe it wasn't its native place.
It's a pine tree, it says.
Okay, pine tree.
Okay.
But someone coming up on this banana, and they're like, and they decide to call. instead of, you know, investigating for themselves or asking someone, what do you think? You know, maybe they poked it with a stick and it...
That banana in a tree? Oh, it's probably a bomb. I better call the cops about it.
All these tree bombs.
How did that come about?
A utility worker spotted it and called 911.
Wow. Okay. 911 was quick to respond. They came out. They brought the bomb squad out, and it was determined to be a geocache.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a geocache. And I've gone geocaching regularly. I've never found a banana in a tree type geocache. Because normally you don't want them yellow and bright. You want them to like blend in with things, so it's harder to find them. But we have found several ammo crates. Like the little, I don't know, like the rectangular, kind of like made of metal, look old. You open it up, and there's stuff inside sometimes.
No.
And those haven't been called in as bombs, as far as I know.
I would almost understand that. It's like this strange metal box in the woods.
I would be okay with that. But I guess no one can just find that one randomly unless you're out there in the woods of the park looking for it. Whereas this tree banana just stands out.
Mm, yep. Those old suspicious tree bananas. Mm. Chris, you do any geocaching? You big cacher? Geocaching?
You know, I it sounded like a nifty idea. And at one time, I was just on the cusp of doing it, but never really jumped in. So,
hey, if you want to try some geocaching around here, hit me up. I've always wanted to try my hand at it. We can have a geocaching team.
Ooh.
Next time we're down there, we actually wanted to do that as one of the things. Because, Brian, you said there's some kind of walkie place that you walk at sometimes near you.
The state park, yeah.
Yeah, and from what I've read online, there are a series of caches along the trail there that people have hidden. Cool. Yeah, and, I shouldn't be talking about this now, but I'm going to because I mentioned geocaching. But there are some just boring ones, like you go out to a parking lot, lift up like the base of part of one of the lights in the parking lot, and someone will hide something under there, or they'll hide like in a bush somewhere, just right off the path. But then there are some where you have to go into like a dry drainage ditch tunnel. That we have a couple of those around here. It's like we start at a golden corral, and you go like in this drainage ditch tunnel. You crawl, you don't have to crawl, you can like kind of squat walk through. And then you eventually end up like almost under a Toys R Us, and there's a geocache way that far down.
Hmm.
In the basement of a Toys R Us?
No,
like
no.
The secret, like this Toys R Us was built on a geocache burial ground.
No, it's like a drainage tunnel sort of, because you don't actually go underneath it. You just kind of go like underneath part of the parking lot. And so I think what we did was my sister and I went underneath and Megan stayed above to make sure we didn't like die or get trapped or something, which we wouldn't have, but just to be safe. And so every now and then we get to like a grate or the little things, like I forget what they're called, the drainage things on the side of curbs that water goes through on the street. But like we go to some of those and Megan would be like, "Oh, hi. All right, there you are." And then she meets down at the next one. Over
gutter?
And over. Yeah, the gutter drain thing. That thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a picture. She took a picture of Caitlin and I like looking like we're trapped underneath the metal grates. That's a cool one to get though.
Sounds
fun.
You
know, geocaching is like locating via GPS these containers that have stuff in them, right?
Yes.
And do any of them have any sort of logbook or paper where you write who found what? Or?
Yeah, all of them are supposed to, I think it's like required for you to have a paper. Some of them are really small and only have paper. It's kind of there's an app that you can use that tells you where all these are. And you just like, you sign it once you find it, put it back in there, and there, you found it. That's like a little 1 point to you or something. But there are bigger ones, which are usually cooler, that have a bunch of this little like toys or objects in it. And then we found a dollar bill one time in one of them. And if you take something out of there, you're supposed to put something back, to be fair. But you find a lot fewer of the big ones than you do the really tiny ones, especially if you're like out in the city or the town or something. Because you can't hide big boxes without someone else randomly finding it.
How do you use the banana peel as the type of container?
I don't know why they said it. Maybe it wasn't even a banana. It might have just been some cylinder wrapped in yellow, or maybe it's like a plastic banana. I don't know what that was.
It's plastic very strange. Banana.
The thing you find the most of is probably pill bottles.
Pills? Like prescription pills?
You find little pill bottles like this.
Okay.
Because it's usually fairly waterproof, especially if they duct tape it up, because you kind of are supposed to do that. Mm.
I'm glad you held that up so that those listening could.
I did shake it also so they could at least hear the pill bottle.
So can anyone set up a geocache, or do you have to go through proper channels? Do you have to consult the geocaching society to plant one? Can I do a HappyCast geocache?
Well, you could
Happy
just
cache,
place one.
The HappyCache.
Oh, yeah. That's what our team would be. You could just place them, but then no one would know where they are. So you kind of have to go through a website to place them.
You got to get the word out.
Yeah.
I'm going to put one out in the woods. It's a big box, and it's just filled with cartons of milk. And then when you find it, you take a carton of milk, and then you drink it in celebration.
How long would it be out there?
Months. I don't know.
People would not do that one. Yeah, but
it's
like
just a celebratory milk.
You'd go on the website. You hide it first, according to the rules that there are about hiding them. Because they have to be, a certain distance away from a business. It has to be usually public land, or you have the permission of the landowner. You have to do all this stuff, add a logbook. You don't have to bring add a pencil or pen in there, because they're supposed to bring one with them. And then if people are not finding it, whoever is the geocache person in your area, volunteer, can disable it if they just declare that yours is unable to be found.
It's a condemned geocache.
Ooh. Yes.
You know, I'd like to get a replica of the Jumanji game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And set it as a geocache and trigger it with wires so that when it is opened, you hear the drums pounding.
That would be cool.
And then from a distance with the camcorder, you know, record the event and put it in the next geocache. Would it be funny? Open Jumanji, you hear the drums.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is a cool geocache.
People do have some creative ones. You don't find them very often because I guess people have to have that kind of crazy skill. But some of them are like puzzle locked. Like you have to like slide things and turn things weirdly to get in. One of them, we were next to a Lowe's and there was like a residentiary. Is that a word? There's a fence, though. residential, that's it. There's a residential fence. And we knew it was somewhere right around there, but could not figure it out. And then we realize, like, it's kind of like a two-layered fence, and there's, like, a little gap in the middle. Well, in the middle, if you pushed, like, if you reached through and pushed on exactly where you needed to, there would be, like, a small plank of wood that would, like, swing out. And then there's a hole in that wood where a knot was, but I think taken out, and that's where the log was.
Wow.
And so it was, like, really, it was really creative. I think you even had to take out the screw to get the whole plank out that was holding the swinging plank in. That was my favorite one so far.
I heard that there's actually two brothers that were trying to locate this geocache. This was a long time ago. They actually went on a boat and ended up on this island. When they opened the box, black smoke came out. And that changed history from there on.
It's the untold origin of Lost. It all started with the geocache.
Geocache.
Is that across the sea?
Yep.
Way across the sea on that island.
Way. Look, this is cool. Black smoke. What?
The ultimate geocache.
Was that geocache in a bottle?
Well, okay, so now that is all the news that's fit to podcast. We'll go forward with a quick guest segment, and then we'll pick up with a quick round of Better Know a Listener.
Top of the morning, this is Trent here with Trent Tomes for the Happy Cast, where you send in your emails asking for advice and I give responses to those requests for advice. Okay, here's the email. Trent, I've been a nighttime vigilante for an undisclosed number of years. It's been a rewarding line of work. However, I've recently found myself craving more direct recognition for my actions, which has never been a problem before. It doesn't help seeing Tony Stark reveal to the world that he is Iron Man and becoming an instant celebrity. Should I remove the cowl and let Gotham know who's been cleaning the streets? Or should I just be satisfied knowing I've done my job well? Well, it's signed Batman, last name withheld. It's weird for me to just use the one name. So I'll, let's see, you sound like a blue collar kind of guy. Jaworski, Batman Jaworski. I'm just going to use that to help me visualize all this. Okay, so Mr. Jaworski, thank you for your service. Wipe that scowl off your face because we appreciate you. I know what you're doing is a thankless job, but okay, first of all, don't make too many waves. Keep running those giant circular brooms of yours at night, and don't even consider Ironman, because if you do your job and stay under the radar, things will go smooth for you. If you put yourself out there, let people know who you are, and everybody's gonna want favors, nobody's gonna leave you alone, and you'll never hear the end of it. Eventually, maybe some two-faced joker's gonna come gun him for your job. You never know. All right, I hope that helps. Again, this is Trent with Trent's Tomes. Send in your emails to happycastfeedback@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you, Trent, for those wonderful words of wisdom.
I agree with Brian.
Thank you. So, hey, it's time for everyone's favorite game show, Better Know a Listener. This is going to be real quick. We're going to ask five quick questions to this week's co-host, Chris. He's going to answer in a timely manner because there's some kind of time restraint.
Yes.
Ben, set this week's mystery timer.
All right. Let me set the sundial this week.
Okay, set the sundial, and we're going to go through these questions, and once we're done, we'll go back and examine, we'll examine them and kind of dig deep, but,
I don't know if my timer's okay. Going to work. It's kind of shadowy in here.
It does look kind of dark, but hopefully it'll get the job done.
Right,
let's hope.
I'll turn this flashlight on it and see if that works.
Old flashlight dial. Okay, so, you go ahead and ask the first question.
All right, let me set it up. Okay, question one. What is your favorite and least favorite movie?
Oh, favorite movie. Movie? Not like a TV series?
It has to be a movie. Or TV show, I guess.
TV show would be too easy.
All right, movie then. Forgot about that.
I think certainly Princess Bride is very comical and funny. I like Back to the Future too. So,
and least favorite?
Least favorite is a movie. Oh, I can't think of the name. It's like a car manufacturer with some foreign Eastern Asian people. Gung Ho.
That I think I've never heard of it, but maybe.
Wow, well, it's a deep. That's a deep cut. I am unfamiliar with that one. Question two, Chris. It's going to be if you could trade places with any person for one day, who would it be?
Oh wow! If I could trade places with any one person for a day, ooh, would it be male or female?
Up to you.
Would it be a political person? Would it be? You know? Maybe it'd be, let's just go for Bob Dylan.
Wow, Bob Dylan.
All right.
I want to be, I'll explain that.
All right. Number three, if you could travel in a time machine to any time that is not within your lifetime, which time period would you go to?
Oh, I'd like to go to the time period where I would see the Red Sea part.
Ooh.
Number four. Where,
but then you'd be trapped there forever because you can't travel back. It's a one-way time machine.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Number four. What is the best part of being a grandfather?
The hugs and the smiles from the grandkids.
All right. Question five. No, yeah, five. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is your favorite dessert?
Oh, no, you can't ask that. Oh, I'll just, one of them would probably be banana pudding.
Oh, all right. Classic.
Oh, the shadow just hit the finish line. You made it just in time.
Photo finish. Photo finish.
That was close. Yeah.
All right, so let's go back. You said question one, favorite movie of all time was either Princess Bride or Back to the Future 2? Like, do you mean Back to the Future also, or Back to the Future 2?
Also. You know, Princess Bride has some romance. It has some comedy. It's got a little bit of adventure. It's kind of all wrapped up. And I don't like the movies with a lot of blood and gore or cursing. And it's just kind of across the board fits almost every area of that, and it's safe for me to sit down and watch with the kids, the grandkids, the family.
It's for everyone. It appeals to everyone. If you,
I like Andre the Giant too.
Oh, he's really good.
Yeah.
Who else is good in that? Billy Crystal, is he? He's in that.
Yeah, he's good.
Great cast.
Mandy Patinkin.
Patinkin.
Inconceivable.
Wallace Shawn, best scene in the history of movies, maybe, like, definitely top five.
Where they're sitting down, he's talking to Wesley about the, oh, what if I swap yours and then you swap mine and then I wouldn't take yours? That's great.
You got Peter Falk in the opening, the great late Peter Falk.
Yes.
You're right. Great across the board pick. Appeals to everyone. I'm going to go out on a limb, say if you're listening to this podcast and you don't like The Princess Bride, you are some kind of monster.
Stop listening now.
No, let's not get carried away, Ben.
No, stop listening now and go watch it until you like it, and then come back and listen again.
Okay. Number two, if you could trade places with anyone for a day, you said Bob Dylan.
Yeah. You know, how many times have you actually heard Bob Dylan sing and you knew what he was saying?
Very rarely.
That's a good point.
I often wondered how he got to be so well known, with a voice that almost seems inaudible. But anyway, being very influential in music for about five decades, song writer as well as singer, I just like to see what it's like to be an icon, a musical icon. And also, if I could be him for a day, I would go ahead and set up a concert as quick as I could for that day so that then I could verbally speak the words of the songs which were unheard, and then see if anyone would recognize said songs.
Oh yes, Frog went according and he did right, right? Is that him? Does that mean that Bob Dylan would be you for a day? Like, yeah. Podcast with Bob Dylan, Chris?
Ooh.
I was about to say, what do you think it would be like if he was just taking over your life for a day?
I don't think Bob Dylan handle it.
Oh, Bob Dylan couldn't handle it. Yeah, it's a good pick, man, Bob Dylan.
I don't like this banana pudding.
Chris, that's very unlike you. This is your favorite dessert. I can't believe you'd say that.
And like that.
The times, they are changing. It's awful.
All right, time machine. Number three, time machine. You said you would go back in time and witness the parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, I would like to see... really get a feel for this Moses character. Have you seen the recent movie Of Gods and Kings?
No, I have not. The Ridley Scott picture, I have not seen that.
It portrays Moses as more of a nice looking young guy. He's very suave with his words. And seems to be a man of action as well. Whereas what I know about him as preserved within the pages of the Bible, he's not a wordsmith at all. In fact, God says, you're going to be my spokesperson. You must go tell Pharaoh to let the people go. And now, how hard is that? Let my people go. Is that four words?
Easy
and
one.
His response is, I can't say that.
Too hard.
He was not a spokesperson at all. He was really more of a military man. He was an action-oriented person. But just to see his role, you know, with leading how many thousands of Israelites and see the huge waters part and they go through and the Egyptian army goes through and is covered. I just think that's one of the classic times. Now, you didn't really ask where I should be. You kind of said when, so I thought of that afterwards. I'm like, well, do I get to
time
choose
and space?
The place?
No, you would just be where you are. Like...
Maybe you could travel there like, before you use the time machine.
Okay. Yeah.
It's good. Well thought out question. Well thought out question. We really asked a great
job,
question.
Good job, Brian.
No, well thought out answer.
If Moses
also
couldn't have said it, he should have tried to singing that song from Frozen. Let them go. Let them go.
Funny.
And number four. Hey, Chris, what's the best part of being a grandfather? It's being a beloved grandfather, right? That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Since I've kind of wanted to ask you about this for a while, since the time when we ended our other podcast, and today, you've become a grandfather, and I've got all kinds of questions. What do your grandkids what do your grandchildren call you? Is it Grandpa, Peepaw, G-paw, Gramps, Pop? What is it? Do you pick it, or are you assigned a grandfather name?
Some people try to persuade the children with a name to use. Others just let it come naturally. This is kind of strange, but I thought of a name that I would be called. I called my grandparents the same thing, Grandma, Grandpa, and on the mom's side, and Grandma, Grandpa on my dad's side. So they were both the same. So I thought, if I call myself Grandpa, it's like I'm fitting this this idea of who I thought Grandpa was, and I look up to both my grandpas. Like, I could never really fill those shoes, so I don't really feel I should be Grandpa. So I thought I'd like to be something else. And my wife suggested that that be Grampy. But that kind of sounds like a country, you know. I really can't say Grandpa nor Grandfather. Grampy.
Oh, look at the Grampies.
You know, don't bother him. He's grumpy.
Grampy, that's a type of race.
Old Grumpy Grampy.
Grand Prix.
However, it has turned into Pawpaw.
That's a good one.
And I'm okay with Pawpaw. As long as it's not the Pawpaw patch.
My favorite is Peepoo, but no one seems to like that one. Every time I bring it up, everyone's like, no, not Peepoo.
I wonder if anyone used Gramps. That just sounds like a slang.
Hey, Gramps.
Hey, Gramps.
Yo, Gramps. It does seem derogatory. Like, it's, yeah, there's not a level of respect there.
Hey, oldie.
Oh, they do call my dad Pops, but that's like, I don't know. That seems more acceptable.
Pops is kind of like a cool one.
Yeah, it's like,
hey,
Pops.
How's it going, Pops?
Pops. Well, being as I'm a grandfather and married to Grandma, she set her own name. She said, you're going to be Grampy, and I will be Grampy's girl, which is Grampy's the letter G, girl. The letter G, Grampy's girl. So, E-G.
Oh.
So, she is called Gigi, and he does not call me Grampy, but it's Pawpaw. So, we have Grampy's girl and Pawpaw.
Oh, man. That doesn't sound good, then. Where's this Grampy character?
Can't explain that to him, you know.
Uh-oh.
Well, hey, that's great. I don't know. I've had a hard time wrapping my mind around you being a grandfather because I have achieved a level of stasis in my life where nothing changes. I'm living the same life I have forever. So I experience the passage of time through other people. So when I look like, oh, yeah, Chris, like in my mind, it's like this is cool guy in his late 20s, I guess, when I first met you, somewhere in your 20s, like, ah, cool guy, computers. Oh, no, he's a grandfather. Where's the time going? I don't know what's going on. Do you have a Werther's original in your pocket? Because I think I might. Is that a grandfather thing?
Sounds like it.
I like a good Werther's original. Number five.
I could ask them if they think I am a great-grandfather.
Oh yeah. Hey. Then you could be, yeah, just a great-grandfather.
Brian, are you a grand-nephew? That. Wait, what would you be, a grand-uncle? Is that what it is?
I'm a grand-uncle? Is that something?
Grand.
Yeah, sure. Wait.
No. Cousin.
Grand-cousin? Cousin. What?
Second cousin. Okay, I always forget second which cousin. Way the cousin stuff works.
Yeah, I never, like, second cousin removed through something, great. Whoa. Second cousin, I don't know.
Third level cousin.
I'm a, yeah, level 27 cousin, secret handshake and whatnot.
I don't know it.
Hey, number five, favorite dessert, banana pudding.
That's tough because peanut butter is one of my favorite foods. You can put...
Yum.
Peanut butter on apples, bananas, bread, sardines, Thai food.
Coffee.
Uses cooked peanut butter. Coffee.
Just a dollop will do you. Coffee and peanut butter.
It's also good for animals if you want to get them to swallow medication.
Or make them talk.
Or make them talk. They don't actually talk, man. I hate to break this news to you. They just look like it.
You just feed it to them and they talk at midnight on Christmas Eve.
Oh, right. As we've established, that's the only time they can talk.
Banana pudding, though. I like vanilla pudding. I like vanilla wafers. I like bananas. Put them all together. It's even better. And my wife has come up with the most fabulous. She throws in some cream cheese into this banana pudding and just gives it a richness. Oh, so that's probably one of my... When I think of a dessert that I like, there are a lot of them, but I have to think of a dessert also that I could eat consistently. Mm. And there are some desserts out there that I do like, but I don't think I could eat them all the time as much as I could eat banana pudding. So that's why I kind of elevated, even though it doesn't really sound like a really standout dessert. You know, I like cheesecakes, but I couldn't eat cheesecake all the time. It just get too rich, too heavy, too... You know, so, but I could do a pudding. It's very light and tasty. So
cool. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you like it with or without the vanilla wafers, because those are the best part of it, I think. It just somehow mixed together. It just tastes so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That also topped with whipped cream.
Who haven't had that one before?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you like the vanilla wafers or the off-brand vanilla wafers? Because I've seen both before. I didn't know that vanilla was just a brand.
Yes. The Nabisco Nilla wafers?
I think so. Yeah, Nilla are my favorite. Way better than just vanilla.
Those are the classic. So
yeah.
I have to go with those. Do you go with the off-brand banana that people get from geocaching?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one that might be a bomb. Yeah. Explosive flavor.
This banana pudding is the bomb.
Probably put some chai into that vanilla pudding. And had chai banana pudding. Mm-hmm.
Maybe add some truffles. Olive oil.
Bomb Patrol.
Making a bad dessert in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, man. Hey, man, invite me over to try some of that cream cheese pudding. That sounds great. I want to see what that's all about.
I shall, yes.
Okay. Hey, so that concludes this.
Oh, wait. We have the secret twist at the end.
Oh, the twist ending. How did I forget again?
Where Chris gets to ask us a question.
Oh.
Really?
Yes, as like payback for the ordeal you just went through.
And then we'll be even.
So, does it have to be the same question to both of you?
That's up to you. If you want to ask us different ones, you can. Or if you want to ask us both the same, we'll both answer it.
Okay, let's see. You've done this segment before then, right?
Just once last week.
And did they ask both of you the same question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The question was, if we could have anyone on the podcast, who would it be? And I said, Chris.
No, it was any celebrity, not any person.
Any celebrity? You didn't choose me. I'm not a celebrity.
Yeah, well, I said you have to be known by probably at least 1 million people for the thing that they are famous for.
I made the case, but I got shut down and had to go with Jeff Bridges, the poor man's Chris.
Okay, I'm going to, let's see, to get you back, I got to think of something very devious. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
That, let's see. What is, if you were on a plane, mid-flight, long flight, let's say, you know, Americas to Australia.
Ooh.
And you're mid-flight, what would be the worst question to ask your flight attendant?
Worst question to ask the flight attendant on some kind of international flight. Let's say Sydney to L.A.
Yeah.
Down under to the City of Angels.
That's kind of what
you're caught in the air in some kind of purgatory. The question would be like that milk I just drank, was it expired? That's a pretty bad one, right?
Do they give you milk?
Do they give you? I've never flown internationally. I did fly state to state, and I just got a can of soda. But
no, how about milk. You know, why isn't there a meal on this flight?
That's a good one. Like, how come I wasn't informed there's not a restroom on this 20-hour flight?
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a good one. How about you, Ben?
What lies in the shadow of the statue? Don't ask that one.
You probably get a look back like, excuse me, sir?
Or what did one snowman say to the other snowman?
It's a good one. Smells like carrots.
Don't say that one either. That's probably what I would go with, though. One of those. Because you never know if that person is, like, secretly, what's her name, Cindy or something? I don't remember her name.
Oh. Yeah, Cindy. I might say, is there something more appropriate for my child to watch? Okay. Can you check to see if I got an upgrade?
Ooh. I would not want to be on a plane with a something drug user in tingly. The bathroom.
Oh.
That's a good one.
You could say, let's see.
Guys, where are we?
Are we going to be safe flying over Cuba? And is Cuba en route to Australia?
Uh-oh. The plane got lost.
Were you joking when you said the pilots don't know how to land this thing?
Oh, no.
That's a good one.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for entertaining me.
Well played. So another successful round of Better Know a Listener has gone down in the books. We'll pick up a quick little fan feedback session. Sound.
The mail's here.
Mail time.
Oh, great. Thanks.
What's this? A letter for me.
Yes. Another fun podcast will be concluded with the traditional listener feedback portion of the show. If you would like to write into the show, we highly encourage you do that. Our email address will be happycastfeedback@gmail.com. Check us out on the web, happycast.website. Give us a call, 77HappyNun. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, so forth.
Instagram.
Instagram, of course.
HappyCast Podcast, not just HappyCast.
Be friends with us on Friendster, of course. Hey, we're in Google Plus. We'll do a Google Plus Hangout. Hey, be sure to feed us on ZimZam.
Yeah, I think it's Zap us on ZimZam?
Zap us on ZimZam.
Yeah, but do all that stuff so we can read all of it.
It's only been a little over a day since we released our last show. Have we received any feedback, Ben?
We have a couple tweets that got tweeted at us.
Okay.
I guess if you want to count that, because there is no mail. We have one from Rank Eating ES that says, "No te pierdas los descuentos de los mejores restaurantes de tu zona." I didn't take Spanish, so I might have messed that up. I don't know if that was a real person. Probably not.
Wow.
Neil Orange Peel completed the Photoshop challenge. It's a movie poster where he and Jason Statham switch faces. Face Off 2, I guess.
Very good. Yeah, check that out on our Facebook group.
Yes, it is on there. It's on the Twitter. It will soon be on the Gram. The Instant Gram.
Instant Gram. That's my new service for mailing people graham crackers.
Instagram. You should do that. I'm sure you wouldn't get sued.
What was the first line from the Nomi Quintero? What? What was that first tweet?
No te pierdas los descuentos, I'm guessing. I don't even know what that means. I'm probably going to copy and paste it into Google Translate and see what I get. Yeah, I think that's all the real email we have, or not email, that's the real feedback we have so far, because, I mean, people even really had a time to, I guess, you know, write in.
That's true. So hopefully we'll have some more feedback next week.
Here it is. Do not miss the discounts of the best restaurants in your area.
I never do. I always get the discounts in the best restaurants in the area.
You should follow that Twitter account, though, that Spanish one.
Well, so
no te pierdas means do not miss.
Oh, I guess I pronounced something right then. All right, so I guess that's all of it. We finished everything there is.
We encourage you to send us that email, happycastfeedback@gmail.com. Share your own happy hours, bummer patrols. Give us suggestions on how Chris should cook his truffles. If you're a big truffle connoisseur. A truffle sewer.
Ew.
A sewer where you get truffles.
Oh, wait. I think we have a feedback.
Do we?
Oh, yes. At the last second, the new today wrote in.
What? That doesn't sound right.
She did. It's sitting here. Would you like to read this, Brian?
Okay. This seems very suspicious. I feel like you might have written this email.
No, I did not write it. I don't know how to access her college email.
Okay, very good. The New Today writes in with an email. It says, "Salutations, bromigos." Traditional opening. Oh, yep. Those Cinnamon Toast Crunch granola bars are called Cinnamon Toast Crunch granola bars.
So, oh, thank you. Thank you. Well,
we weren't able to crack that code on our own, but now we know.
Per Fizbiz's request, she did help us.
My happy hour for the week is blanket forts. Okay. I made a super cool blanket fort a month or so ago, and it makes everything more magical. It had it all. A lava lamp, a laptop, fan, pillows. It was the bees. The best.
I think it's the I don't think it's the bees.
I thought it was a typo. I thought she meant to call it the bees. I made, or rather, watched the Menpole make one, and it was not as cool, but pretty good. My bummer patrol is the number of good/classic movies I haven't seen. It is daunting and sort of a mystery as to how I've missed some of them, like Star Wars. Key to Pappy's The New Today.
Thank you, The New Today, who's currently on a car ride.
Oh, wow. So this one was written while riding. I hope she wasn't driving.
No. My mom is driving. My sister got to go to one of the Carolinas to see her boyfriend or something.
Her manpole. Sorry, her manpole.
Manpole. Her manpole.
Yeah, okay, but the blanket forts, I think hers are good because growing up, since this is my sister, just by the way, growing up, I have trained her how to make good blanket forts. We would make them pretty regularly, play like games underneath them and all that stuff. It really helped that we had a bunk bed for a time. And so you can easily just hang blankets down over that and get, like, you know, a nice, like, room part of it.
So she was like your blanket fort Padawan.
Yeah, exactly. And now she's going to kill all the blanket fort children in episode 3.
Spoiler alert.
All right.
I blanket forts are fine. I am more of a pillow fort man myself, but, you know, to each their own.
See, I would think pillow forts would be a lot harder because you'd have to have a lot of pillows and have them, a lot of them stand on end. Whereas blankets, you can, like, stick in walls with, like,
sure,
with a
they're
nail.
More versatile. They're more versatile, but I feel like a pillow fort well made is more rewarding. More work for a better reward.
We should have some kind of battle about this.
I'm sorry to waste your time with this, Chris. Would you like to throw your hat in the pillow fort versus blanket debate?
That's a tough. I can't say I've ever made a pillow fort.
Mm. Well,
seems too difficult.
Yeah, it's challenging. Not everyone can do it. You have to be a real pillow artist.
How about a tarp tent?
A carpet tent?
No, tarp tent.
Tarp.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've been in those, and that's pretty easy.
Maybe if I were flying Sydney to L.A., I would ask the flight attendant, like, why did I see them load all those tarps into the cargo area? Are we going to need those? That infinite amount of tarps?
I've made a mattress fort or a chair fort.
Oh.
Those sound good.
A mattress fort is like a very large-scale pillow fort, I would think.
Mm.
Mattress is like a pillow you sleep on, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you guys for humoring me. And Ben's sister hasn't seen Star Wars, so it's a bummer.
Yep.
She's seen Back to the Future, though.
She's seen the first one.
Okay, it's the best.
She hadn't seen it until she watched it with us, though, about a year ago.
Well, good job. Good job making her watch that.
We're going to get her to watch Star Wars. I think the best order is like 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6 is what I've heard.
4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6. Yeah, that makes sense because then that preserves the twist.
Yeah.
That she knows. Like, I'm not going to blow her mind by saying that.
Whoa! Spoiler alert!
All right, so.
That's the second time I've heard the word spoiler.
Ever?
During the show here, it just reminded me the last time I was in Sunday school and I was trying to use an analogy in our lesson, and I said, I'll use the analogy of a show I used to watch called Lost. And the second I said that, someone attending the class said, wait, no, don't tell me. I want to watch it, and I haven't seen any of them. Don't spoil it. And of course, Brian.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, we were spoiler free, but how many years ago was that?
Six, five?
I think five-ish.
How long do you stay? You know, I think spoiler free once a couple years passed. It's, what do you think?
You draw the line. After it aired, that was always my thing. Like, once it aired, it's free game. It's part of the cultural dialogue.
Okay.
Guys, I'm sorry, I haven't seen the Andy Griffith Show yet. No, don't tell me about it. I'm a marathon. I'm gonna binge it one weekend. Watch them all.
Bob Newhart Show. I don't want to know the ending.
That's where you can see dead people, right?
Yep, that's how that one ends.
I thought so.
So how did that feel, Chris? Were you like, so that's what that feels like all these years? That's what I've been doing to people.
Well, I didn't spoil it for, so.
It's very kind. I would have made my point regardless.
Oh.
Or I would have fabricated an ending. Like, of course, everyone knows that in season 4, when the aliens came.
Where the monster was a dinosaur.
Yeah, the monster was a dinosaur.
But do you know what had a terrible, terrible kind of twist ending?
No.
The last Twilight movie, which I watched only because I watched it with Riff Trax, which is basically MST3K, and Riff Trax are pretty funny. But the last one, there's this huge climactic battle between like all the good guys and all the bad guys, and they both have like armies of vampires. Yeah, spoiler alert, if you're planning on watching the last Twilight movie, I'm sure all of you listeners are. But there's this big battle,
and all right. So big battle. Like a bunch of the good characters die, a bunch of the bad characters die. And then it turns out it was all a vision someone had of showing what could happen if they did it this way. And then instead, the bad guys just walked away.
Oh wow!
It's like 10-minute action scene. Probably I would say it's the actual good part of the movie, except vampires are made of stone or something. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, and so all of those deaths are worth nothing. Whereas in other series, like Harry Potter, someone dies. No, they're just dead. It's not no fake out. Like, oh, no, they're not. It was all fake.
So are you saying that dead is dead?
Dead is dead.
What happened?
That place was death.
Are you saying that he's are you?
That's actually my rock band.
I do.
Oh, very good. Theoretical action Eggtown. Scene. Sound like a bummer. Eggtown, of course. Eggtown. Why not?
Question mark?
And this concludes the part of the show where we say a bunch of lost titles.
You already had one of those a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. So, hey, guys, I hate to tell you this. That time's finally come. It's time for us to turn off the lights of the Happy Cast studio and, count all the cash, make sure the tills are right, lock the doors, because the podcast is over for the week.
Good. I can finally wash this blood off my hands.
You had blood on your hands?
I did.
Oh. Well, you could have washed that off before the podcast.
Before we close out all the way, should we play Guess the Title of the Happy Cast episode?
Oh, sure. Why not? So I'm going to guess what this podcast is going to be called. Is that how that works?
Yeah, just guess what it's going to be called. We cannot tell you if you're right or not until Monday.
Okay, well.
Which is the day this is out for everybody else.
Are you playing along, or you're making
can.
The title?
No, so all like three cheating. Of us can play along. We'll just see what it ends up being. All
right, so this episode of Happy Cast, it has Chris on it.
I feel that we could also influence the title. So are we really guessing or setting the title?
That's true. We're picking
the title.
I might
not go with any of these. I already have a title in mind.
Okay. All right. So Chris is on the show. I think that's the big feature this week is having Chris. Happy Cast Unlocked or something with Chris. Words that sound like other words. So Chris, what sounds like Chris? Chris, Bo Biss, Banana Fanafo Fiss, Me My Mom, Hitter Chris. That's Hitter Chris.
Chris
America. No. I don't know. What would we call this? I would just call it Chris. It would be called Jeff Bridges, the poor man's Chris. There's a colon in there. So
am I next or is Chris next?
No, I don't know. Chris, do you have an idea or should we jump to Ben?
Let my people,
Chris,
listen to Happy Cast.
Let my people, Chris.
All right.
Well, if you went by the lost way, it'd have to be somewhere, some quote from the episode, but, I don't think I'm gonna go with crisscross banana sauce.
Oh, crisscross banana sauce. Sure.
Wow.
Because banana pudding is like a banana sauce, right? Is that what we're going?
Exactly like banana sauce.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, man. Well, Chris, once again, thank you for being on the show. I'm truly glad to finally get you here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Appreciate being on the show and you asking me, and I'm also, you know, not to mention, appreciate the financial compensation you've given me for it. So,
of course.
Oh, I'm not supposed to mention that.
Everybody does. Like last week's guest did not get paid, so we'll just cut this out so she doesn't feel left out.
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, we're sending you.
I don't know what I'll do with this bag that I got from Taco Bell, but.
What?
That's how Brian passed it to you.
Yeah, through the Taco Bell drive-thru.
Yeah.
All right. So
thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Yeah, this is incredible. Please come back anytime. We're going to wind down the podcast, turn off the lights, throw a blanket over it.
It's closing time.
Closing time.
Okay. See ya.
So, this is walking off camera.
To go with a traditional ending.
Yeah, so, you're right. So
goodbye.
Thank you for joining us. Until next time. Wait, stay. What? Keep happy?
Stay happy.
Keeping happy? Keep happy?
Be happy.
Until don't next time. Stay. Oh, I'm getting a phone call. Sorry.
Oh, dancing.
Thank you all for joining us. Until next time.
Stay.
Keep happy. Okay. Oh, man. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that one. Chris, thank you. Thank you again, man. That was a blast from the past. Yes.
I mean, I've been tired of reading these notes. You guys had me say every word that was scripted. Can I come on another time at least provide my own input?
You know, it's a big step.
Well, it's really up to Mr. Slade. He gave us your notes to write, to say all of this, so... We'll have to talk to him and see how it goes.